Welcome back to another episode of the CTB Show, and we are down to four teams in the NFL. And mind you, Kat, as the weeks go on over here, I think you're just looking more incorrect by each down of football because the Washington Commanders are rolling, the Philadelphia Eagles are in the NFC Championship once again. Like, those are the two teams you've had the strongest stance on, albeit they are your NFC East rivals. But yes, we are down to four teams. Divisional weekend, everyone says it. It's the best weekend of football. All four games were very, very exciting. Pretty much all went down to the wire as well, so it's been great. How you doing today?
I'm doing great, Pac. And I actually wanted to start the show today, and we had an elaborate plan that I was going to pull out a Jaden Daniels jersey and put it on at the start of the show. I got our good friend to bring it yesterday to the VTFL fields. I forgot to pick it up. And then I forgot to pick it up on my way home from work today. And we sit here with no Jaden Daniels jersey. But man, oh man, I couldn't have been more wrong about the Washington Commanders. They look unbelievable. And I mean, we're talking a short sample size here, because just 3 weeks ago, we were both on this podcast talking about their game against the Falcons. And we were really on the fence, not necessarily to say Washington was going to lose that game. I think we both picked Washington. But to go from there, a primetime game against a rookie quarterback, essentially making his first start, to now just fast forward 3 weeks, you're beating a 15-win number one seed on the road. They're coming off a bye. You're in the NFC Championship for the first time since 1992. Like, what? There is nothing better. There's not a better story left in the playoffs. And that's saying something, because Buffalo is, on the other side of the conference, is just doing something that's even, I mean, not as remarkable as what Washington is doing. But, like, how could you not? And it's funny, because this is what I said that about a month ago. Not even a month. It probably hasn't even been a month ago.
Your quote was, I guarantee they will not win a playoff game. And you said, if they play Philly as the 7-2, which, hey, now they're going to get a chance to go into Philly, which a lot of people thought was going to be the first round matchup. Yeah. They managed to avoid them on literally the last play in Week 18, because Marcus Mariota walked off the Cowboys and the Green Bay Packers lost on a walk-off field goal to the Bears. So with seconds left, they avoided Philly. Now they get them 2 weeks later in the NFC Championship. And you said that they will get blown out by them, that they're not a playoff team, and you guaranteed that they will not win a playoff game.
I said they have zero upset potential in the playoffs. Exactly. Those were my exact words. And you know what? I was wrong. But it's okay. I've been wrong multiple times before. We'll get into our predictions for that game later on. But Jaden Daniels was remarkable on Saturday night. Like, he is a superstar already. I will go as far to say that he is, in my opinion, cemented himself as, like, no doubt about it, top 10 quarterback in this league. And he's been in this, he's playing what? This is his 19th or 18th career start. So what he's able to do, especially for a franchise that, like, the mess that Dan Snyder left behind, like, all this, Washington was irrelevant. Like, you know, when the worst thing for a franchise to be is, like, when you're not just bad, but, like, you're also, like, irrelevant, right? Mm. Washington was well in that category with, like, Jacksonville, right? Yeah. And the fact that they were able to turn it around in literally a season, number two overall pick to the NFC Championship, is remarkable. I don't think we've ever seen it before. Obviously, actually, we have. Cincinnati did it. But still, like, it doesn't come around often. And obviously, for you to do it, you have to have an absolute rock star quarterback, and Washington does.
First year head coach, first year GM, first year quarterback, second year new ownership. Like, we are just seeing a changing of the guard right now with this Commanders organization. And it's so incredible, because last week on the show, I said Jaden Daniels is making a case to be the best rookie quarterback in NFL history with the season he's putting together. And there was a little bit of pushback. Some people pointed out that, hey, you know, CJ Stroud did exactly what he did a year ago, winning a wild card game. But when I watch Jaden Daniels, it just feels like he is so much more than a rookie, if that makes sense. And that's why I feel like he's truly elevated himself above the rest of the class, because, you know, even, you know, you go back to when Cam Newton was a rookie. He was super dynamic. He popped off the screen. And maybe Jaden Daniels doesn't have as many big plays like that. but he plays the game with so much poise, and there's just a sense of calmness when he's on the field that, you know, yeah, you get a big lead against the Lions, and the Lions, we all know how, you know, much they can score and how easily they can come back into these games, but it just felt like it didn't matter, because it felt like when Jayden Daniels got the ball back on in his hands, the Commanders were going to score again. And I think that is what makes him so, so special and so dangerous. And everything is just working right now. You know, different parts of the team are sort of playing for each other, building off of each other. The defense, which was a massive concern going into the Lions game, their secondary has been well below average this year. They've had a hard time stopping the run as well. You know, Jahmyr Gibbs, he looked good when he got the ball for sure. Monroe St. Brown, he did a bunch of damage, but they just played with the lead, stayed in control, nobody panicked, and for a team that, like I said, they have a first-year everything, coach, GM, quarterback, that is very, very uncharacteristic to see. That's the type of performance that you expect them to go out and lose and say, oh, well, we'll learn from this. This was the first year of this new project. We'll be back. The clock, you know, they're already in their Super Bowl window. It's crazy that they're in the final four.
It's crazy. That's the best way to say it. It's crazy. If you told me before the draft last year, and there was so much crap behind Washington, it's like, oh, you're going to miss out on Caleb, this, that. I mean, I stood on my ground and I said, Jayden Daniels is a stud. I didn't think he was going to be as good as he is in his rookie season right away, just because, like you said, it's like when you watch him play, if the average person just turned on the game, had no clue who Jayden Daniels was, who had nothing. They just watched the game. And I said, how long do you think that quarterback has been playing the NFL for? There's no way anyone would say he's a rookie. It's impossible. There's no way. The way you said, his poise, his accuracy, his ability to, at the end of the day, his ability to rise his game to the highest of levels when it matters the most is what's the most impressive to me.
I don't know what they're putting in the water here in LSU, because Jayden Daniels was met with his fair share of skeptics coming out of the draft, being one, an older player, two, someone that, you know, he didn't work out at his first stop in college, being at Arizona State. Everyone remembers that viral video of his teammates cleaning out his locker. And it's really a similar career path to what Joe Burrow followed, going to Ohio State, doesn't work out, goes to LSU, and then has one big year. But the big thing with Jayden Daniels was, oh, you know, he threw to Malik Nabers, he threw to Brian Thomas. A lot of his yards and touchdowns and production was just off of these wicked deep shots where, one, he's standing in the pocket for a long time, and two, he's got two burners on each side that, you know, they're so much better than the competition, they're going to get open. Both those guys went on to, you know, have over 1,000 yards and set their own share of rookie records this year. So that was the worry coming out of college. He's not going to have Brian Thomas Jr. and Malik Nabers, or at least the NFL equivalent of that talent at receiver, on a Washington team that, quite frankly, like you said, is a joke. Has not been good forever, has not been relevant forever, not managed well at the top, not managed well at pretty much every single level. And it doesn't matter. And that's the same thing we saw with Joe Burrow. It was, you know, he's got Chase, he's got Jefferson in college. It's not going to be like this in the NFL. Well, it is. And immediately we're seeing two guys right away change a franchise. And that is what Jayden Daniels is doing right now. You go into Detroit, this fairy tale season, an offense that can just score at will, a defense that can shut down big offenses. We saw what they did to Minnesota in week 18. Did not matter. And I don't know. I think the Commanders are 5-point underdogs right now.
Yeah, 5.5 actually, last time I checked.
I'd take them against the spread. I would take them against the spread right now.
Yeah, but I mean, I want to talk about Philly too, because that game on Saturday, if I had one takeaway after watching that game, it has nothing to do with Philly. It has nothing to do with the Rams. Football is meant to be played in the dome, Puck. And I know you disagree big time.
I absolutely disagree. I think that is one of your worst takes. And I talked about this a little bit when the Browns announced they were building a dome. And the fact that the Bills are building a new stadium right now and they're not building a dome, I love that. I think that it should be played. The elements should play a factor. It adds to the excitement, the anticipation, to the experience of being a fan and being in the stadium. I think it should absolutely be played outdoors. And I know there's times where it snows like crazy and it impacts your ability to maybe do a certain thing on offense, but part of the game. Deal with it.
No, but it's not part of the game.
Find a new way to score.
But it's not part of the game. It should not be part of the game. Because you busted your ass all year to have your season come down to the point where, like, A.J. Brown came out and said, I never want to play the snow again. I couldn't break. Yeah, I couldn't get out of my breaks.
A.J. Brown's a diva, and he wants 15 targets, and he's upset when, you know, they win because Saquon Barkley ran for 200 yards, and it's not, you know, him winning the game.
Whether I do agree with that, the point still stands. It's yesterday was honestly, in my opinion, if it was not a playoff game, I would have loved it. I would have said, you know what, week 14 game, snowing, albeit. But to go to the NFC Championship, I'm watching people slip and fall. They can't even turn. Like, it did not feel like football to me. It felt like I was watching rugby or like I was watching the VTFL. That's what I felt like I was watching. I was like, dude, like, this is, you know what I mean? Like, I'm trying to watch two powerhouse teams fight it out and go to the NFC Championship, not watch people have snow fights on the field. Like, for me, that wasn't football, and it only reiterated my somewhat unpopular opinion, because I'm shocked with the amount of people that agree that every stadium should have some sort of element factored into it. I think it's ridiculous. It's if that was your team, let's say you were the Dolphins,
would lose immediately.
Exactly, and why would they lose immediately? But because they're not used to playing the snow.
You need to learn. You need to be ready to play in the cold, and I think that's what makes these quarterbacks like Josh Allen, someone like, you know, who's big, hard to take down, has a big arm, can throw the ball in the cold because it's a different game. That's why they're more valuable than someone that can't rise to the occasion and play those late season games. You know, in the draft, that to get to the Super Bowl, you might have to go to Green Bay. You might have to go to Philly. You might have to go to Foxborough and play in the cold. And GMs think about that, and they say, which guys do I think can lead us to victory in harsh conditions? And I think this argument of, like, I understand you saying it's an NFC or an NFC divisional round game, and maybe because of the weather, it's not the highest level of skill from the league's biggest stars being showcased. But I just think that at the end of the day, this is how the sport was meant to be played. And rain, snow, whatever, let's do it. Let's battle it out in the trenches, because that's how these games are won and lost. And I don't know. I love it. Saquon Barkley ran for 200 yards in the snow. He ran for 200 yards in the dome. Doesn't really matter. You can't tackle him either way. There you go.
I don't know. It bothered me, to be honest. It really did. And I get it. It happens, right? You go into Green Bay, this, that. I want to see both teams on a fair, not to say that I would have said this either way. If the Eagles won, if the Rams won, end of the day, I'm saying this the same way. The product takes a hit when it's played outdoors in a snowstorm like that, especially, like, imagine if it was the NFC Championship game. Like, you know, there's no way that you could feel like you were, you had a great viewership experience by watching that game as an NFC Championship game. Like, imagine the Rams and the Eagles, how much better of a game, and it was a good game, but I felt like if that was played, let's say, in Philadelphia, and Philadelphia had a dome on, that would have been a 35-31. It would have been the best game ever.
I think this is just the new school idea of football, that for it to be a good game, it has to be like this shootout where the teams are scoring back and forth and both quarterbacks throw for 350 yards and three touchdowns. Like, at the end of the day, you just want close competition down to the very end. And sometimes that's going to be 13-10 where, you know, a team runs the ball 40 times because they can't get it done in the air. Or, you know, a team's 3-for-10 on third down, but that doesn't matter because the other team's 1-for-10 and it's a defensive battle. Like, it's part of the game. These are all elements of the game that matter. I know it's fun when we get this big shootout and everyone puts up these crazy stats, but I don't know. It's meant to be played outdoors. It's just how I feel. I'm sure it sucks to play, and it sucks to be a linebacker trying to tackle Saquon Barkley and he cuts and you try to cut with him and you slip because it's snowing outside. But I don't know. I just feel like this is the way the sport started. this is the way the sport needs to continue, and I think it will continue, even though more and more teams are starting to build these domes.
I hope every team in the NFL builds a dome. I want to talk about the actual game, because I thought on Sunday night, I felt that it was honestly, if Philadelphia is going to win the Super Bowl, that is how they're going to win the Super Bowl. They have star players everywhere, but man, oh man, is Saquon Barkley not just fantastic? And how good is Jalen Carter? Like, he is a serious game wrecker. And this is his second year in the NFL. The fact that he is able to just, it's like he's like a, I mean, I don't want to go and make this comparison, but he has the game wrecker potential that Aaron Donald had, that Ndamukong Suh had, that those big defensive tackles, you very rarely see defensive tackle, like Chris Jones, like for a defensive tackle to change the game the way that he changes the game, you very rarely see it. You see it from your edge rushers like TJ Watt, Micah Parsons, Myles Garrett. It's been going on for DeMarcus Ware. I mean, Von Miller. You can go on forever. There's always good edge rushers. But game wreckers that come from the defensive tackle position, to me, are like, there's just something about it. And Jalen Carter on that 3rd-and-2, like literally a game-saving play to get in Matthew Stafford's face, to take him down, to really... I know it's hard to measure momentum. It's impossible to measure momentum. But as soon as Stafford had that completion to Puka Nacua on the sidelines to essentially get them well inside the red zone with a minute 20 or a minute left, whatever it was, I felt that that game was sealed. I'm like, the Rams are going to the NFC Championship. Unbelievable, because they were down by 14 or whatever it was with 4 minutes left. And then Jalen Carter just... through all the stuff that he's been through and he's got, and he's put himself in, at the end of the day, he put himself in those situations, but for him to overcome it and to prove his worth for a city that loves their football team and heck, bring him to another NFC championship, I thought it was remarkable. He single-handedly, alongside with Saquon Barkley, won them that football game, and they're going to need a lot of that if they're going to ultimately go on to beat KC, to beat Buffalo, to beat even Washington this weekend. They need him to keep producing at that high level, and he is. He's been playing fantastic.
I love the way the Eagles play. I've been saying it since they started that little win streak down in week 4. This is one of the most complete football teams in the NFL, and I feel like so many times Jalen Hurts gets way too much criticism for how this team wins. I totally disagree, because at the end of the day, he takes care of the football. He does enough in the pass game. He offers so much for you in the ground game. I always say, when you play the Eagles, it's not 1st and 10, it's 1st and 9. And that is massive when you have Jalen Hurts under center. And now that you have Saquon Barkley, it's even better. They've built their team in such a way that the offense complements the defense, the run game complements the pass game. And Josh Allen over in the AFC, when he only throws the ball 20 times and only has 160 passing yards and runs for 2 touchdowns, you don't hear a peep about people saying, oh, you know, he's not carrying this team. He didn't put up the stats. He's not throwing for 300 yards. But when Jalen Hurts does it, it's, oh, Jalen Hurts is the most overrated player in the NFL. Any quarterback can be the quarterback of the Philadelphia Eagles, and they go far to the NFC Championship. And I think it's getting ridiculous with this guy. You can point to his track record of the teams he's beat in the playoffs, the points he's scored, the stats he's put up in the playoffs. And quite frankly, I do not care, because when he's under center for Philly, they get to NFC Championships. They've been to a Super Bowl. He's played very well in a Super Bowl
that he lost.
He's consistent. You know what you're getting from this guy. And most importantly, when you have a defense like this, when you have a run game like this, he takes care of the football. And I don't care that he doesn't roll out and extend the play and fire a dart across the body that's 60
yards. Because if he would, he would turn the ball over.
Like Josh Allen does, or like Patrick Mahomes or Lamar or Joe Burrow. He does not need to be that. And I'm very, very tired of everyone thinking that if you don't have a quarterback that makes those plays, he's overrated and he's carried by his roster. he's the leader of this football team. They do very, very well with him. And I think he's getting too much criticism. He's had a very good season. And Philly's back where they want to be with him under center.
Yeah, I think the criticism is well warranted, personally. When I watch Philadelphia, and I'll see this, people can come at me however the hell they want. They're the best team in the league. But if they lose, it's going to be for two reasons and two reasons only. Because their quarterback's not good enough and their head coach is not good enough. And it's... Look, they've scraped by. And they beat Green Bay by 12 points. I get that. But if they played the Rams and started the way they started against Green Bay, they probably lose the game. Yesterday, that game was slipping out of their hands. Kieran Williams fumbles the ball. Jalen Carter makes a game play at the end of the game that changes the outlook of the game. Jalen Hurts against Green Bay, awful. Against the Rams, awful. He has not been up to the standard that you expect, that people are putting him in. Look, if the general consensus around Jalen Hurts was that he's a game manager, he is anywhere between 13 to 15.
But I think that's what it is.
Yeah, but maybe to you, but a lot of people genuinely put Hurts up. Like, I saw Bleacher Report. I get it, whatever. But they're like, oh, the quarterback position's in good hands. They put Jalen Hurts there with Mahomes, Allen, and Lamar Jackson. It's like, come on. Like, you know what I mean? Like, dude.
It's not on that level, but he's okay, still but they're like putting someone that, on that level. You feel like this guy can be the quarterback for this team for the next 6-7 years. Oh, no problem.
Okay, but...
And like, they'll be very good when he's there.
Yeah, but what's that saying, though? But you can't say, oh, you can put anyone there because that's just not the way football works. But it's like, okay, can he be the quarterback? Will he be? He's going to be the quarterback for the next 6-7, however long he plays, he'll be the quarterback of the Eagles. But that doesn't necessarily mean that he's like this upper echelon, like great quarterback. He just does what he's supposed to do. And at the end of the day, if he, like, look, people like to bring up what he did in the Super Bowl a couple years ago, and he played fantastic. The Hurts in 2021 compared to the Hurts now are two different quarterbacks, I think. I genuinely think. I thought
he's gotten worse.
He's gotten worse. He has. He's regressed. He absolutely has regressed. There's no way about it. There's no two ways about it. Like, whatever. I'm going to sound like a hater, but it's true.
I also think, though, that the way that they tailor their offensive 100%, game plan, like, they don't
for
ask
sure. Now they have Saquon. I get it.
Saquon Barkley.
I get it. I get that. Look, and that's why I'm not going to just harp on the fact that, like, can I see Philadelphia winning the Super Bowl? Yeah. If they go to the Super Bowl, I mean, unless it's KC, like, you're probably going to be picking them.
You would pick them over the Bills?
I think so. I genuinely think Philadelphia is the best team, the most complete team in the playoffs.
I think I just saw this morning that the new betting favorite to win the Super Bowl after, I guess, because...
Is it Philly?
Yes, and I feel like that's mostly because they're such a heavy favorite in the NFC Championship, so they're more of a lock to be in the Super Bowl rather than, you know, Bills and Chiefs is more of a toss-up.
Yeah.
That's why they're the betting favorite. I don't think they'd be favored against the Chiefs. I don't think they'd be favored against the Bills in that actual Super Bowl matchup. And I would pick both those teams over the Eagles to win today.
And why would you do that?
Because of the quarterback position.
Exactly.
Yeah, but I just finished saying that he's not Mahomes and Allen. I'm not pretending that he is, but that doesn't mean that he deserves to be cut up just when, you know, they win a playoff game and he's not the hero of the team. He's still a good quarterback.
Of course, but he's not supposed to be the hero of the team. But in the playoffs, there's going to be a point in time where he's going to have to elevate himself, and he's not going to do it. So if it comes down to that, that'll be the reason why Philadelphia doesn't hoist the Lombardi Trophy.
I think that if Jalen Hurts was dropping back 35 times a game and being asked to throw the football,
they would be losing the game.
Well, it's not about that. It's that we would be sitting here carving up Nick Sirianni, talking about how this is the worst malpractice of coaching performance, the fact that you're not feeding Saquon Barkley and you're asking Jalen Hurts, who's just, quite frankly, not that type of player, to throw you to victory. That's just not how they're built, which is fine. It's not always about the quarterback.
Yeah, it's not.
All I'm saying.
But that's why I think he gets too much praise for when they do well.
I say it's not always about the quarterback, but those are always the faces of the organization and how they're marketed in the media. Fair. And like that post right there where, you know, the four final quarterbacks that are left over, it is the future of the league. All those guys are under 30.
Yep.
Two of them have been to a Super Bowl before. You know, the other one's in his first season. And then the other one's Josh Allen, who the only reason why he probably doesn't have three Lombardi trophies of his own is because of Patrick Mahomes. So I think that's fair.
I had this conversation today with one of my buddies. Do you think if the Eagles win the Super Bowl this year, do you think Saquon Barkley is a Hall of Famer?
I think Saquon Barkley is already going to be a Hall of Famer.
You think?
Yeah, yeah.
Even with so. his accolades don't necessarily like, because he had his injuries.
Only eight players have ever rushed for 2,000 yards.
Fair.
And I feel like Saquon, when Chris Johnson did it, I feel like that's more of the, like Derrick Henry to me, no doubt will be a Hall of Famer. Chris Johnson is the other one kind of in our lifetime.
What about Jamal Lewis?
That was two before me. He was the Ravens guy.
Yeah.
When Chris Johnson did it, it just felt like there was a regression kind of shortly after, and he was so young when he did it. Whereas Saquon, in my opinion, has already been so good in his career, and now it's just being viewed of like the Giants were holding him back. I don't think he needs to win the Super Bowl to get in the Hall of Fame. I've also had this conversation with people too. No one cares about Super Bowls unless you're a quarterback.
Running. Exactly. That's what I said. That's what I was going to say too. Like, I think he's already a Hall of Famer because his talent level puts him there. And there's so many people that be like, oh, but he has to win. It's like, no, that only matters for quarterbacks.
Like, if Jalen Hurts wins the Super Bowl and then he continues to, you know, make NFC championships every year and he plays 12 years in his career and he finishes as the all-time quarterback leader in rushing touchdowns and all that, and he has that Super Bowl win, I think he'll have many people that will argue him for Hall of Fame. Because when you're a quarterback...
Oh, man, I can't wait for that.
When you're a quarterback and you win the Super Bowl, it elevates your case. If Eli Manning didn't win those two Super Bowls, and I know that's like, you can't do that and say like, if he didn't do that, because he did.
Yeah.
And those were two incredible achievements. And, you know, he played two amazing football games. But the reality is, when you look at Eli Manning's career as a whole, I'm pretty sure those are the only 2 years he ever actually won a playoff game.
Yeah.
He didn't win a playoff game outside of the years he won the Super Bowl. And in many occasions, didn't even make the playoffs. Eli Manning, to me, will be in the Hall of Fame. And like, I would not fight you about it. Even if I don't fully agree and be like, this guy was like always the best quarterback. Like, but Hall of Famer. He's an important part of the history of the NFL.
We're going to be on the season like 42 when Jalen Hurts is getting...
his gold jacket.
Now I'm going to start raging.
I'm not going to pretend that I don't cheer against my division rivals too. You saw my reaction last night when Mark Andrews dropped that.
Yes. And I went crazy. Let's talk right into that podcast.
I actually want to tell the story because we were watching this together and we were watching it on a phone. So it's a smaller screen and we were huddled around like a bunch of people. And when Lamar threw the pass, I could see like, Mark Andrews was clearly wide open, so I just assumed he caught it, and then you started going nuts, and I started going nuts, so then I thought we were, like, both cheering for the Ravens. I'm like, oh, like, you know, he's excited that the Ravens tied the game. And then I saw that he dropped it. I'm like, why are you cheering for the Bills? I don't know.
I hit him with a little...
Yeah, you love Josh Allen. You love the Bills.
My Buffalo Bills, Pac. My Buffalo Bills. And typical... playoff fashion, Lamar Jackson falling short once again. What is that? I think three playoff wins, three MVPs. I think that's like the first.
Well, he hasn't won the third MVP yet, but
well, he's going to. Yes. Unbelievable. I think I don't think I've ever seen it before. And maybe it's going to continue trending. Maybe he'll win the MVP next year, and maybe one playoff win then, and he'll have 4-4, maybe 5-5. That honestly would be probably the most remarkable thing ever. But he fell short once again, Pac. And people want to point fingers. Oh, Mark Andrews, catch the ball. Don't turn the ball over. You're on the road in Buffalo, already a hostile environment, and you lose the turnover battle, you are not going to win the game. And I get it. You had a chance to. And should Mark Andrews have caught that pass? Absolutely. But at the end of the day, there was multiple chances and multiple reasons why the Ravens ultimately fell short in that game. And look, we just said it again. Quarterbacks sometimes get too much praise and sometimes they get too much of the blame. But in this specific situation, I think a lot of the blame needs to be going on the quarterback. Like, it's look, you can call me a hater again. The fact of the matter is, if you're the MVP, which he is, everyone knows how great Lamar Jackson is. I'm not saying Lamar Jackson's a junk quarterback. I'm just putting him up to comparison with the quarterbacks that he deserves to be compared to. And the fact of the matter is, those quarterbacks come in the clutch. And for whatever reason, when it comes to the playoffs, Lamar Jackson just can't get it done. I don't know what it is. I can't point fingers to what it is. But a big fumble, a pick, like even the Mark Andrews pass. She should have caught it. Look, he should have caught it. But to double clutch it, to throw it a little bit behind, like stuff like that matters. It matters. It's a game of inches at the end of the day. And look, there is no ifs, ands, or buts. They fell flat on their face, and Lamar Jackson deserves a good chunk of the blame just because he is the quarterback.
I defended Brock Purdy a lot last year when they lost in the Super Bowl because a lot of people said, like, oh, it's his fault, and gave a whole spiel about how, you know what, there's only one winner at the end of the year and teams fall short and things happen. And I think you aren't taking away from, like, the season that Lamar Jackson
No, absolutely. He's the MVP.
But the fact is, at some point in his career, he is going to have to win a big game on the road against a quarterback that has had more playoff success than him, against a franchise that maybe he is expected to beat them. He needs to have that kind of trademark performance in January, in February, for people to truly buy in on the legacy of this player. But I think we are experiencing this new sort of renaissance in the NFL right now, where because someone by the name of Patrick Mahomes walked into this league and immediately from day one won three Super Bowls and set all kinds of records and has just been an insane one-of-a-kind career, start to the career, I think we're forgetting how long it takes sometimes legendary players to go out and to accomplish something, to get over the hump, because sometimes there's struggle in victory and it takes a while for everything to come together, especially for star athletes. Peyton Manning didn't win the Super Bowl until year nine in the league, and he also had a 3-5 playoff record at some point. So Lamar Jackson, he's still young.
Is he going to be 29?
That's not old.
Yeah, but for a guy that runs the ball, like,
is he already going to be 29?
He's going to be 29 next playoffs.
No way.
Yes, he is.
He's 28. He's
28 years old.
I kind of thought he was going to be 28, but that's still,
like, the clock's ticking. He will be, like, you know what I mean? It's ticking.
He just turned 28.
It's so ticking. And for a guy that's mobile, but it is. You know what I mean?
But when you watch Lamar,
I agree. Doesn't take big hits.
I don't think that he doesn't take big hits. Yes, and I also,
you're right.
I know speed doesn't last forever, but he is just so fast for a quarterback that when I watch him, I just feel like he's going to be able to do this for, you know.
You'd hope so, because again, he makes the game exciting. As much as I like to harp on him and criticize him, but I don't mean to criticize. I just hold, like, you know what I mean? I know he's good, right? I just, when you compare him to Patrick Mahomes, to Josh Allen, to Joe Burrow, to those types of quarterbacks, he deserves to be, you know, held to a specific standard.
But all he's missing from that echelon of quarterback play is, like I said, playoff that success. One trademark playoff success where he goes into Arrowhead, he goes into Orchard Park and wins against all odds in a game that maybe they shouldn't win. Like, this is a game that they should have
won.
They
were favorites.
They were favorites. They outgained the Bills by 150 plus yards. And at the end of the day, you know, a pick, a couple fumbles here and there, some, you know, three or four plays that just didn't go the Ravens' way, and that's the margin of victory in this league in a tough, tough matchup. But, like I said, year nine is when Peyton Manning won the Super Bowl. How do we view Peyton Manning now? Top five quarterback of all time, legend, did it with the Colts, did it with the Broncos, you know, threw 5,000 yards, 50-plus, like, just insane career. And at one time, he must have had this label of can't get it done. So I just think that the story is not already done.
No, I'm not saying it's done either.
He'll be back at some point, and I do think there will come a time where he gets this because he's just too talented of a player for it to not happen. But yeah, it's unfortunate for the Ravens. 2 years in a row now where they really felt like not only do they have top three quarterback in the NFL, their defense has been really good. This year they add Derrick Henry, another player that, you know, we don't know how much time he's got left. And you kind of fell with this feeling of, like, you don't know if they'll have a better team than this. And maybe they will next year. Maybe they'll make some more offseason moves, get better. Maybe Lamar will continue to play at an MVP level. But it's definitely a tough way to go out. Like, Ravens fans watching that last night must have, especially thinking that you had that two-point conversion in the bag and it slips away. But yeah, Lamar Jackson's getting a ton of hate. We knew that was going to happen for any quarterback that lost this game. I'm sure if Josh Allen lost and the Bills fell short, yeah, it would be the same narrative. Yeah. And that's why it feels unfair to talk about these guys like that. Yeah. Like you said, when you're in that echelon of quarterbacks, you know, you're held to a standard of you should be winning the Super Bowl every single year.
Yes.
And until that happens, these guys are just going to get...
Correct. Know, and as unfortunate as that is, right, it could be a positive, it could be a negative. Most of the time it is a negative because at the end of the day, only one team does win the Super Bowl. But look, I want to talk about Buffalo because we both picked KC to win the Super Bowl. I'm probably still standing on that just off of pure, I don't want to bet against Mahomes because I look like an idiot if I bet against them. But if the Bills... and it's a big if. If the Bills get by KC, is it like a destiny type of situation with Buffalo? Like it feels like this, and we're talking, if we want to, everyone said Detroit could be destiny. I said Detroit could be destiny. Clearly, they just suffered too many injuries on the defensive side of the ball for them to just keep up. Like 41 points put up against them in at home in the playoffs is obviously just an extremely, extremely big hill to climb. But you want to talk cursed? Like, Jim Kelly lost four straight Super Bowls. Four straight Super Bowls. This Buffalo Bills team, I feel like it's one of those situations where if they just get to the Super Bowl, it almost feels like, damn, they're going to win it. Like, I don't know. I can't struggle. And I know it's going to be a lot for you to admit. Right.
Well, I just think that, like, considering their relationship with the Chiefs, they've been eliminated by the Chiefs 3 years now in the playoffs. Like, that is tough. And the fact that Josh Allen's 4-1 versus Mahomes in the regular season and 0-3 versus him in the playoffs. Last year, they were at home. They still lost to the Chiefs. If you beat them and then go lose in the Super Bowl, I think I would rather just lose to the Chiefs again. Then go through that. Because it to me, I'm trying to see the perspective of Bills fans, and I feel like if they beat the Chiefs, they must be thinking, there is no way we're losing now. We finally got over the hump. This is our year. Just give us a Super Bowl already. Like I said, I don't think the NFC is as strong as these AFC teams. I do really believe that the team that wins on Sunday between the Chiefs and the Bills is going to be the favorite, and I ultimately will pick them to win the Super Bowl. If they can't get it done after that, like I said, I would rather just lose in the AFC Championship. I will also say this. If the Bills play like they did last night against the Ravens, in Arrowhead next week, it is not going to be close. They're going to lose. Their season is going to be over. This fairy tale run that everyone is hoping for, they finally get their first Lombardi trophy. It is not going to happen. Ravens outgained them by, 150 yards. They gave them the game with the turnovers. And yes, Bills played some good defense. They made it tough on Lamar. They made it tough on Derrick Henry. But you cannot let the Chiefs control the game like the Ravens did. Because the Chiefs aren't going to commit those sloppy turnovers. The Chiefs aren't going to mess up on their two-point conversions or on their fourth down attempts or, by turning the ball over in the fourth quarter. That does not happen with this Kansas City team, let alone in the playoffs where they have just been so, so good. So I think Buffalo needs to raise their level of play. I think they will do it. I think we're in for some fireworks next Sunday, and it'll be very fun.
I can't wait, man. You want to make predictions or what? Yes,
we will make our predictions to wrap up the show. It's crazy. We only got 3 games of football left in the entire season.
And then the offseason, which is good, but it also sucks because it's like the longest offseason.
I enjoy it. I enjoy... free agency is awesome. It's a really fun time. The draft is,
awesome.
The draft is always what you look forward to as a team that never wins in the playoffs.
Where is the draft this year?
I feel like I should know this. Oh, Green Bay.
Oh, is it?
In Green Bay. Yeah, maybe we'll drive out, make a road trip. Okay, predictions for this week. We will start in the NFC. Washington in Philly. Philly is about a 5.5-point favor right now. Who are you taking?
You know, Pac, my heart wants to take the Commies. I want to believe, and I still do believe, but it just feels like too tall of a task for them to go into the link and in the cold, say what you want. Maybe it snows again, and maybe I'm here Monday morning and I'm raging again, but I got to give me the Philadelphia Eagles to head back to the Super Bowl for what? The second time in 4 years?
Yeah. So that's my thing. I don't want to repeat Super Bowl. I liked San Fran KC last year. I know a lot of people were complaining that, oh, it's the same matchup. I said, guys, these are the two best teams in the league. This is who you want to see play. I'm at the point now where Jaden Daniels, I'm entering that territory with him where I'm like, this guy's on a crazy run. I'm not betting against him. I'm going to take the Washington Commanders to win. I know it sounds crazy.
I love it, Pac.
I know that when they played in Philly earlier this year, they got completely run over, especially by Saquon Barkley. And to be honest, I'm trying to think of a way of how they're going to stop him. And I love Frankie Louvu. I love Bobby Wagner. The front four on Washington has grown on me a lot as well. They got some really good players there. I don't know. I think they're going to figure it out because no one's been able to stop this guy, but they're going to find a way to do it. Jaden Daniels, I think he just has this presence. He gives this team so much confidence. I'm going to pick them to win. It's going to be
I love it.
I think 5.5 is, quite frankly, from what we've seen from this Washington team, it's gotten disrespectful.
Yeah, I'm going to take them on plus 5.5 too, but I don't know. I would love to see them win that game because I think, again, I told people the best Super Bowl possible, best Super Bowl matchup possible would be the Commanders and the Bills. I think it'd be the most fun.
Are you picking the Bills?
I'm not taking the Bills either.
I'm not taking the Bills
either. I'm taking the Chiefs to go back to the Super Bowl, and ultimately I'll probably pick them again in the Super Bowl. But look, how could I bet against Mahomes? I just can't. 3-0 against Josh Allen in the playoffs. Say what you want about the regular season. The regular season don't matter when you're the Kansas City Chiefs. Give me Patrick Mahomes, the best quarterback in the league. He doesn't have to win MVPs. He doesn't care about the MVPs. You know what MVP he cares about? You know what MVP Patrick Mahomes cares about? The Super Bowl MVP.
I'm really glad you brought that up because I wanted to say something. So the Chiefs are 1.5-point favorites. This is on points bet for this Sunday to beat the Bills. However, Josh Allen is currently the betting favorite to win Super Bowl MVP over Patrick Mahomes, even though the Chiefs are favored in this game. Now, I don't know if that means people are just sinking a ton of money into Josh Allen's Super Bowl MVP. They got to adjust the odds. I'm not an odds maker. I don't know how these things work, but that is a little bit crazy, the fact that the Chiefs are favorites in this game. However, Mahomes, and you got to think, like, no one else in the Chiefs is realistically going to win Super Bowl MVP. If the Chiefs win this game, and they're favored to do so, they're going to be favorites in the Super Bowl. He'll be betting favorite to be Super Bowl MVP. That's not the case right now. Quite interesting. I'm going to take the Chiefs. I'm going to take them against the spread as well. They're only -1.5, like I just said. I don't know. I think everyone's just feels like at some point this is all going to come crashing down and they're going to lose. And you know, Josh Allen's going to get his win over Patrick Mahomes. Maybe it happens one day, but I'm not going to sit here and try and predict when that day is when I've seen the opposite happen time and time again. I'm going to pick the Kansas City Chiefs. They're back to the Super Bowl. I picked them to win before the season started. I picked them to win before the playoffs started. I'm picking them now because they're still alive.
What times are the game times? Is it
6:30? 6:30. Sunday. 3 and 6:30.
Man, I'm amped. I can't wait for Sunday.
It'll be a good day. But there it is. That is going to be all for this week's episode of the CTB show. Next week when we're back, there will only be two teams left. We will know the Super Bowl matchup. It's also that kind of weird week where, you know, it's not exactly the Super Bowl left, so we're not going to do a Super Bowl preview. We will actually be in Mobile, Alabama at the Senior Bowl, so we will give you a show from there. Not sure if it's quite going to be on Tuesday, but at some point we will give kind of a breakdown of what we're doing at the Senior Bowl, what's going on, what kind of prospects are looking good there. Maybe we'll have some more head coaching news by then, too. We can, you know, talk about more off-season stuff and save our Super Bowl chatter the week after. But thank you if you made it to the end. We appreciate you listening, and we will see you next week.
See you guys.